Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. It belongs to Him. He made it. And it's so important to understand that because He's coming to redeem not just us, but this whole world, all of creation. Verse number 2, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his song unto vanity, soul unto vanity, and is not sworn deceitfully. But we see in this psalm that this world belongs to God, belongs to Him. But we find in the New Testament, Jesus referred to Satan twice as the prince of this world. The Apostle Paul, that great man of God, referred to Satan as the god of this world, a lowercase G-O-D. Even though God, Jesus Christ, owns this world, Satan is the prince of this world. He's the god of this world. That's why everything that takes place, let me give you an illustration. When things happen in this world, chaos, confusions, whether even sometimes earthquakes or terrible, these tornadoes that take place in Kentucky and all these awful, a lot of people say, well, that's an act of God. Even in contracts, I know I used to be in business, and then on the bottom of that contract, you know, you kind of cover yourself that we're not responsible for, quote unquote, an act of God. Okay, would truth be known, these are all, most of the time, these are acts of Satan. Okay, Satan is a destroyer. I don't want to go too far. I'm not going to say what is of God and what's not of God. I mean, God would know. But we tend to place everything in God's lap. But we have to remember that Satan is the prince of this. He has some powers. He's able to control some things as much as God will allow him to control. But Jesus twice said He was the prince of this earth. Paul said He's the god of this world. And I think as we look into chapter number 5, we see that God is going to take control of this earth. He's taking it back. It belongs to Him. And it reminds me of the illustration. Let me give you, the devil is nothing but a squatter. You know what a squatter is? When we purchased a property around us a few years ago, we bought these apartments. There's what we would call squatters in those apartments. I don't know if some of y'all may not remember this, but I remembered it very well because I had to deal with it. And I won't say they were homeless people, but they lived in those apartments rent-free, and they didn't pay nothing at all, and they were just squatters. They tore the apartments up and wrecked and ravaged those apartments, and they were squatters. You know what a squatter is? They've took residence there, but it doesn't belong to them. Well, we had to, sounds bad for a Baptist preacher, but we had to kick the squatters out. This doesn't belong to you. We had to clean it all up and take possession of what rightfully belonged to us because those squatters were there. Well, that's a silly illustration, but that's exactly what's taking place here in chapter number 5. The devil is nothing but a squatter. He's took this earth, and matter of fact, it was Jesus Christ who gave dominion to Adam over this earth. Remember? When He created Adam, He said, Adam, you have dominion over this whole earth, over the seas and over all the animals, all. And then Adam gave that over to Satan when Adam sinned. Or he found there's so much here. But I don't see the picture. That's what chapter 5 is all about. Jesus Christ is coming to claim this back. It belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So He takes a book written within. It's a title deed to the universe, I believe, written on the on within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And you know about scrolls. I won't go into that. Most of you know about that. As you unwrap it, they don't read them this way. They go this way. Okay? And it's wrapped with 7 seals. It's sealed with 7 seals. Probably has a string tied around it like they did back then. And back in those days when these scrolls were read, that they were, before they after they were closed, they put like a piece of clay or something on the end of the scroll, and then they'd close it with a signet or a ring of the king or emperor or whoever it was, and that no one could open that scroll unless it was that king or emperor, somebody with authority that could open the scroll. Are you following? Well, the man with all the authority is fixing to open the scroll. It belongs to him, the seven seals. Matter of fact, I learned something this week reading some more. According to Roman law, when a will or testament, this was in Jesus' days, when a will or testament was read, for instance, when all the Neros and the Caesars and all that, they had a will, it had to be read seven times before it was legal. Had to read it over and over seven times before it became legal as law of land, which I find very interesting. Not that it has anything to do with seven seals, because God is the author of it all, but it's interesting how they would read a will seven times before it became legal in the Roman government. Well, Jesus takes this scroll from the hand of God. In verse number 2, well, we see the picture. In verse number 1, that's the picture. We're going to see this. We're going to be present when this takes place. But verse number 2 through number 4, I want you to see there's a big problem. Not only is there a picture, there's a huge problem. Verse number 2, I saw a strong angel. Who this angel is, I do not know. The Bible does not say. I'm not even going to speculate. Some people think it's Michael. Some people think it's Gabriel. I have no clue. The Bible just identifies him as a strong angel. Proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. Look at this next phrase. Neither even worthy to look thereon. Couldn't even look at it. In verse number 4, I wept much. John was just, literally, he began, the word wept means he sobbed, violently sobbing. Because no man was found worthy to open the and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Here it is, the title deed to the universe. Redemption for the whole world is at hand, and nobody's worthy to open it. We can't, which includes us, by the way. None of us are worthy. I heard a song for the first time this week. I listen to gospel music all the time. First time I ever heard it. And I don't remember who sang it. But it's talking about how God could use somebody like me who's so unworthy. But God could use even the lowest of the low and make something good out of them. The song was God could use a fish. You ever heard of Jonah and the whale? God used a fish to his glory. God used a jackass. Remember Balaam? That was in the song, kind of a different word in the words. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. If God could use a fish, a whale, if God could use a jackass, God could use me. But yet in the song was how unworthy I am. Why me? Why me? None of us are worthy. Who am I that the king would bleed and die for? Who am I? No man is worthy. I mean, from the time of Adam to the last person that ever lived will be on the face of this earth and they'll be redeemed standing before Jesus Christ. None of us are worthy. It's by God's grace that we're even able to stand here this morning. By the way, hadn't God been so good to us? I thought about this morning, and again, I don't want to get into my message this morning, but this past year has really been, again, the past 2 years have been a difficult year for a lot of people. It's been but through it all, hasn't God been good? And yet through it all, we're still not worthy of what he's done for us and what God is doing in our life. We are not worthy, never will we ever be worthy. And here it is, we're in God's presence, and John begins to weep because no man was found worthy to open the seals, and if those seals are not open, all hope would be lost. Who could redeem this earth, the universe, if the seal, that title's deed to the universe, if it couldn't be redeemed? We're going to look at that. That's what it was all about, redemption. So there was a huge problem. There are none righteous. No, not one. And I have a note in here. He redeemed me. I was guilty with nothing to say, but he redeemed me.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.